The topics discussed on this show are for informational purposes only. They're not meant to diagnose or treat any condition or problem. We encourage you to seek the advice and care of your pet's veterinarian. Welcome to Pet Talk with Ina Road Animal Hospital. We're animal lovers and professional pet people. Thank you for joining us here to talk about animals of all shapes, sizes, colors, and breeds. Just like our pets, there's no topic too small or too large. Pet Talk with Dr. Leanne Devi and the Ina Road Animal Hospital starts now.
Good morning and welcome to Pet Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Leanne Devi, and we hope that everybody had a fabulous Christmas with their friends and family and their pets, of course. We are back to being live today, so we want to let everybody know that you can reach us by phone at 751-1041, and I'm getting looks from Mark.
It feels kind of strange being back after not having to wake up early last Saturday.
And the fact that I reminded everybody that they can call us at the beginning of the show rather than waiting about halfway in. So yes, please give us a call, 751-1041. We would love to hear any questions or comments or stories that you may have. Maybe even tell us what you guys did over the holidays and how you included your pets in your celebrations. We do have a special guest today, and I think that this is an important topic to get out there, regardless of the time of year, but the holidays tend to be difficult for people that are suffering from mental illnesses, and post-traumatic stress disorder is definitely a condition that our veterans suffer from, especially when they're from combat situations. And we have David Rafis from One Veteran Foundation with us today. We want to thank you for joining us. We would love to hear, one, about you, what your experiences are, and then how you got started with One Veteran Foundation and what exactly it is that you're doing to help our veterans in our area with dealing with their post-traumatic stress disorder and the service dogs that go along with that.
Well, thank you for having us. We started One Veteran. Actually, we filed for our paperwork for our 501c3 on Thanksgiving Day a year ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We got started when a buddy of mine and I were talking about the name One Veteran that I came up with when I was actually watching TV with my service dog. I couldn't get the name out of my head, so I went and I bought the name online. Thanks to GoDaddy, they make it easy for us. We then bought the name and sat on it, and when my buddy and I were talking, he asked me why I hadn't moved forward with it. And I said, because the IRS likes money, and it's $400 to apply for a C3. He then put the money up. We applied for it on Thanksgiving Day, and surprisingly enough, 6 days later, it was approved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were very surprised how quickly our 501c came through.
I was going to say, bureaucracy doesn't usually move that fast.
Yeah, no, we were stunned. We got it approved on the 2nd or 3rd of December, and then we received our paperwork at home the 13th of December, and the 21st of December, the Military Order of the Purple Hearts here in Tucson made their first donation to us, which really catapulted us forward with being able to help out our veterans that were in need and our vets with PTSD with providing them with service dogs. And a lot of this came out of the fact that my service dog came into play, and I don't know how we really got her. We went down to Pima Animal Control to adopt a Heeler.
Okay.
I have an American Bulldog. I don't quite know how that happens. I think she picked me. She kind of played it off a little bit in her kennel, just playing all shy and coy with us and just kind of getting my attention. And she was in this kennel with a 10-month-old German Shepherd, and she was just like, oh, God, just get me out of here. And so we took her out, and we started playing with her and roughhousing a little bit. And it was funny because the lady says, sir, please don't get the dogs wound up. And my wife, who's sitting here with us, told the lady, if this dog won't roughhouse, this dog stays here. And she says, you have a good time with that dog. And we went home with her that night, which was the day after Christmas in 2014. Yeah, 2014.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we started noticing in January, February, that she started sticking very close to me. I have a couple times a year where life becomes very difficult for me.
Okay.
January, February is one of those times, and we started noticing that when I would have a panic attack or an anxiety attack, because I have been diagnosed with PTSD also, so not only am I the chairman of the One Veteran Foundation, I'm a recipient of the One Veteran Foundation. But we started noticing that she would wake me up at night, and she would disrupt my nightmares that I would
have.
And by doing that, over time, my nightmares have gone from 4 to 6 nights a week to maybe 1 or 2 a month.
Wow, that's a significant reduction.
It's been huge. And I know my wife appreciates it because she gets more sleep, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
So, yeah. But, no, my dog's name is Manifa, and she is kind of what brought the catalyst of the service dogs to veterans with PTSD to the forefront, because I figure if this can work for me, it's got to be able to work for others.
Absolutely.
So we started looking around once we formed to find the right trainer for what we wanted to do. And we came across Sublime Canine up in Oral Valley, who the owner has a family member that's a vet also and wanted to do something to help out the local vets. And this seemed like it was a really good fit for us. He does amazing work. The crew that he has on staff at Sublime Canine has been absolutely fantastic about working with our veterans. They take our dogs. They will give them their good canine citizenship. Because to be a service dog, you have to be able to behave properly in public. And then once we have that in, we give them all their basics so that they can do the public access tests and things like that for them to pass to be able to go into public. We then start fine-tuning the dog, kind of like you would like tune up a car. We tune up a dog.
Okay.
And
oil changes in the whole nine?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you know, check the paws, make sure the brake pads are working, you know, all the good stuff. But all of our dogs are taught to do what we call block and bump.
Okay.
By that, we mean that when a veteran gets into a crowd where most of them have their problems, because when you come back from overseas, no matter how hard you try to be normal, you don't, you're not. You're
no.
just not. Even if you didn't see combat when you were overseas, you're going to have a different outlook in life. And by us giving the vet a dog, he's able to go into crowds. He's able to go to restaurants. He's able to go to movie theaters, to bowling alleys, to be an active part in his family's life. And by having the dog with them, they have their team back. Because the military is very much a team concept.
Right.
You know, you have fire teams, squads, you got flights, you've got, I don't know what they call it in the Navy.
Clearly not a Navy man.
Shipmates. They've always got somebody that is with them watching their back. They may not like you, they may not love you, but they will die for you.
Right.
And by giving a veteran a service dog, they have that sense of safety and camaraderie again. And that is something that is irreplaceable for a veteran who has spent however many years in the military where they know that they've got somebody that will always have their back. And with the service dog, our service dogs, like I say, are taught to block and bump. And if they get into a crowd and a crowd of people come forward, the dog will then step in front of them and provide a barrier for that veteran in that crowd of people. And sometimes that dog will actually separate that crowd to give that veteran a path out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even imagine because I don't have, you know, close family members that have been through combat like this. My stepfather was in the Air Force, but he didn't have to see this type of combat that our veterans today are having to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't have that personal experience, but you know that the trauma is probably unbelievable, and not having the opportunity to hear it firsthand until today, it's just astounding.
The thing that I've learned was when I got out of the Marine Corps, I thought I was surrounded by a bunch of jerks. It's like, oh my God, what is wrong with these civilians? These people don't think right, they don't talk right, they don't walk right. What is wrong with these people? Well, 20 years later, I found out that jerk was actually me. And not everybody I met. And that was a very harsh reality to come
to. I can imagine.
And, I mean, I drove truck for 18 years, and come to find out, that was part of the problem. Because when you have PTSD, you have a tendency to isolate yourself. you get away from everybody.
Yeah.
You have your back to the wall. You're watching the doors. You're watching the windows. You're seeing where people are coming and going. You're looking for choke points. You're looking for attack points because that's the mindset you're in. You go into a hyper-vigilant state where you have a tendency to overreact to something that shouldn't normally set you off.
Okay.
You know, if you're in a place and there's a loud noise, you have a tendency when that loud noise go off to fight stance and ready to go. Or you will go into a hide-and-seek mode where you try and hide, or you'll flip a table or something to put a barrier between you and wherever that noise came from. So what we do with our dogs is they're all trained to kind of become noise insensitive, to where they don't trigger with noises. When they hear a noise, they don't go to the noise. They go to their veteran, and they calm their veteran down.
Because they're expecting some type of reaction
right.
from them.
Okay. Yeah. My wife will tell you that we've been out to some local restaurants where it can be very noisy at times, and some of them like to play Django with 2x4s.
Oh, gosh.
And it's on a wooden floor.
Uh-huh.
So when one of them gets knocked over, it's really loud.
I can imagine, yeah.
And I would get startled from time to time. And somebody would knock it over, and I would be on my feet with my hands up going in the direction of the noise. Well, when we had my dog, Manifa, she was with us one night, and it went off, and my first reaction was to cover her to make sure she was okay, then to go at the noise. So it retrains your mind on how to deal and how to react to situations that would normally be disheartening to the veteran.
Okay.
Or things that would be very startling or traumatizing to that veteran and pushing them back to where they came from. Their dog is their teammate, and their job is to protect them. And the dog's job is to protect the veteran. So you literally are building a two-man team. You know,
which is what you guys have been trained for.
Yeah.
You know, to be there for everybody. And it's not surprising to hear that your automatic response is protection of yourself or whoever's around you, because mm-hmm. that's what you had to do.
Yep.
And so to come back to the States and try to go back into a civilian life,
yeah.
I can't even imagine, because you guys have been trained mentally that this is what you have to be prepared for, as you don't know what's coming.
Yep.
And so to always have to be on high alert,
Yeah.
And then to come back home and try to retrain your brain, especially depending on what it is that you've experienced in a combat zone.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable for those of us who haven't had to live through it or live with somebody who's had to live through it. So it's hard to express how much we appreciate what you've been through. It really is, because we can't fully understand what you've been through to protect us. And then to have to come home and deal with all of the psychological issues that go along with that. So the fact that you have found solace in having a dog available and now have extended that to other military veterans, I think it's such a beneficial thing, and I'm hoping that the United States government realizes how important this is and starts supporting the use of service animals to help with our military as they come back home, because reintegrating into society is probably one of the most difficult things I think you guys face when you come back home. And yes. The changes that you've gone through psychologically, I mean, your family knows that you're dealing with a lot, but you're a different person when you come back home. I mean, I just can't imagine.
Yeah, and there's nobody that can go overseas into a combat zone and actually be in a combat situation and then honestly expect to come back not changed.
Right.
If you do, you're kind of psychotic. Okay.
So there might have been something wrong to begin with.
Of course, that's just my personal opinion, not a professional one. But, I got very, very lucky with my wife. I got what I tell people, I got the broke-in model.
No.
You know, her dad was a Vietnam vet.
Okay.
Who served in.
Yeah, was that positive? I think it was positive. I think it was positive.
No, it really is. It's a very big positive, because having the proper support system around you is crucial to learning to be able to deal with what's going on in your head. Because you could just be walking through a mall and catch a smell, and your mind will take you back somewhere else. And the dog is trained that when you start to go away mentally, to draw your attention to the dog so that you don't make it there.
Okay.
And what they do is they disrupt those thought patterns. You know, my wife has been with me when I have been somewhere, and for no apparent reason whatsoever, my mind goes back to bad places.
Mm.
And she is very, very understanding. And that's the thing I try to tell people, is that a veteran with PTSD with a supportive family, not a coddling family, but a supportive family member that can not necessarily understand what they're going through, but empathize with what they're going
right.
through, goes a really long way. They're not looking for somebody to hold their hand. They're not looking for somebody to baby them. They are just looking for a family member or a friend that can understand that they've gone through something very traumatizing in their life, and they just need somebody that'll listen and not judge them. A lot of times veterans won't talk to non-veterans because they've never been there. They
right.
don't get it.
You just can't understand.
Yeah. See, and that's where I tell people I'm very lucky to have the wife that I have, because she grew up with a father that served in Vietnam, that did PSYOPs for the Navy Special Ops guys, and did all kinds of amazing things in his life. You know, and it was funny because he used to be in the Marine Corps before he joined the Navy, and so they asked him why, and he said the Navy gave me a better deal and the food was better. So, and if you saw her dad, you would understand why food was important.
Okay.
He's a big boy.
We're not going to have a services war here, and Navy guy's going to call in, and Army guy's going to call in.
No, I used to look for the Navy chow halls when I was in the Marine Corps, because they do eat really well. The food was good. So,
we're going to come back and talk about how you guys find your dogs and more of the training and the certifications that they have to go through. But we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these short messages. Thank you so much for listening. Welcome back to Pet Talk. Again, we are talking with David Rafis with One Veteran Foundation. And we were talking during the break about...
We were just having a great
conversation. Yeah, I know, we kind of had to stop it mid-sentence. But we were talking about, you know, the camaraderie that goes on with the veterans and how they have this network that will help deal with helping others through situations when they're having a breakdown or a meltdown, or they just need somebody there. So it's nice to hear that you guys have a way of interacting with each other and that you have this network that you can talk and get people there to help out if they need it. So it's not just our pets. It's a whole community that you guys have created. We were also mentioning, we mentioned Sarge way back when the show first started. I know. We mentioned him when this show first started, because Sarge had actually come to us shortly around the time that we started this show, last year. And so, he's actually somebody that you know, the gentleman who owns Sarge, and Sarge is his service dog, and they got into a vehicle accident and Sarge had to spend some time with us. I never actually really got to meet Sarge's owner, but I got to meet his wife and then all of the people that came in with her to help support her through this, because I can only imagine the stress that it put on her knowing her husband is injured from this vehicle accident and his therapy or service dog is in our hospital now.
Yep.
And so they're separated, and the stress associated with that, I mean, she's so worried about both of them together here, because Sarge was important to him. And I'm sure he's important to Sarge, and the fact that there was a disconnect there for a couple of days. I mean, we worked really hard to get them home and together as quickly as possible.
And as you mentioned, he was injured, but yet he brought the dog in to get treated first.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to, we got Sarge.
Yeah.
You go now, you need treatment.
And that was the same thing we had to tell his wife is, we've got this under control. Now go.
Yeah.
Go make sure that he's okay, because we've got Sarge. We've got his back right now. You go take care of him. And we'll make sure that they get back together as quickly as possible, because we knew that that was important. When we found out that he was a veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder, we knew that we needed to get Sarge back to him as healthy and as quickly as possible.
Yeah, see, that was one of the things when, before he got Sarge, we had talked about in our group of the Combat Vets Motorcycle Association of looking into some service dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And James was actually one of the first ones that reached out and went to Tadsaw out of New Jersey and then got Sarge trained. They worked with him on a regular basis. Those two became very tightly bonded, as most vets with their service dogs will, is that's it's not really a dog to them. It's a living, breathing team member that it's their responsibility to watch over them. It's kind of like having a sergeant in a private. It's that private's job to make sure that sergeant stays alive, and it's that sergeant's job to make sure that that private is trained properly and stays alive so that he can then watch his back. You know, so with that kind of a mentality, when one of your teammates go down,
it's something that I can only imagine the emotions associated with it, because I can see that that's difficult for you to even consider right now. And so the emotions associated between these two, knowing that both of them are injured, you know, I'm sure that Sarge's owner was thinking, what am I going to do?
Exactly.
You know, and Sarge himself is wondering, where's Dad? You know, so, yeah, knowing that you can't be there for each other at that moment of injury, I mean, that's got to be emotionally traumatic, especially coming from a combat situation where that's your job.
Yeah, when you come out of that situation and a teammate goes down, your first priority is mission and teammate. Well, when you don't have that mission, the only thing that matters is your teammate. And if one of them goes down, it's your responsibility, whether you're injured or not, to make sure that they're taken care of.
Yeah.
Period.
And that totally explains why the situation developed the way that it did when Sarge came in to see us, and you know, and to let them, you know, okay, we've got it. It's okay. We've got his back right now, so that you can take care of yourself. You know, we'll kind of take over that role temporarily for you, so that we can get him home to you as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And that's a huge deal with the healing process, is having your team member with you all the time.
Right.
You know, I'm lucky enough, and my dog has been good enough for me, that I'm getting to the point where I don't need to have her as a service dog 24 hours a day now. There was a time when anywhere I went, she went, that type of thing. And now she was all ready to come to work this morning. She was all ready to get in the car and come. She was looking at me, was like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, I got this. And you know, when you have a dog that is willing to do all of that for you, you want to do all of that for them. And part of having that service dog and that teammate, you're able to then have that confidence to go where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're able to get the mission done, whether that mission is just getting up and going to the grocery store, getting up and going to work. And some people, it's just getting up and getting out of bed. You know, because some of the things with PTSD is you deal with depression, you deal with anxiety, you deal with hypervigilance.
Yeah, so it's going to take, you know, a bit of work for some of these people, and having that dog there that they have to care for, and they have to get out of bed to care for, because it is their teammate, it can help kind of bridge that gap for these people. So
next time... Does she have a good radio voice? Because she can come on and share the mic. Yes.
No, she'll talk. I mean, it's just and it's funny because like with Manifa, when you're up behind her ear, she just groans. It's just like, oh yeah, you're go. It's like going to get.
I don't know how
that
will translate to the radio.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's that kind of show or not. But, you know.
So we definitely want to talk more again about how people can get involved in helping you guys, and then where you get your dogs from, and more about the training and certification process. But we do have to take our break in the half hour, so hang in there. We're going to talk more when we come back for these few messages. Welcome back to Pet Talk. Again, we are talking with David Rafus with One Veteran Foundation. We want to remind everybody that if you have some phone calls, questions, give us a call at 751-1041. Mark has a few things that he needs to get out there about, some things that are going on around town, some upcoming events, so that we can get back to our discussion and talk more about One Veteran Foundation and how you can get involved and help out.
certainly in that regard, I have the website, your One Veteran Foundation, on our Pet Talk resource page. So it's oneveteranfoundation.com.
Yes.
.com. They can also go to our website and click that link as well. So
awesome.
That way they can get to your website. When we get back to that, we can talk more about that. Our upcoming topic for next week is an organization called Hearts That Purr, and they help rescue. They're a cat foundation, rescuing cats that suddenly don't have a home. Either the owners have passed away, the owners have moved away and left the cat. So we'll be talking kind of a cat show next week. That should be fun. Reminder, Yappy Hour is in just a couple of days.
It's in 2 days. Yep.
2 days?
It's Monday. Today is Saturday.
It is Noble Hops, and it is from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and again, 10% of all of the sales, so food, drink, desserts, et cetera, are being donated to Gabriel's Angels. So,
and then in February, we're going to be featuring One Veteran Foundation with Yappy Hour, so we encourage you to come out for that one as well.
First Monday of the month, if you want to put it on your calendar, 6 to 8 p.m., Noble Hops. Again, it's a great...
Just make it a dinner date.
It's an easy way to raise some money for a great cause. You have to eat and drink.
It's not hard.
That's not that hard.
It's really hard to go wrong with just eating and drinking. And knowing that you're going to get 10% of what your bill is then going to go to the charity to be able to help us to provide service dogs to our vets.
Yeah. The problem is, if it's 10%, I'll have another beer.
Exactly, because that's hard.
Yes, those 16-ounce curls can be very devastating. You're saving time from going to the gym. Look
there
at that.
Exactly. So you're raising money for a good cause and working out at the same time.
Exactly.
Yep.
Perfect. And I'm sure they've got a salad on the menu somewhere.
Somewhere.
Do they?
Buried in there. You kind of have to search for it. Yeah.
Never had any bad food there.
No,
sure,
so. No. I have to admit that their food is really good.
It is.
Quite a few upcoming events. Save the Savable. You heard the commercial earlier. That is coming up next week. Not a lot of time to get your tickets, so again, please go to eventbrite.savethesavable.com and get those. I might have said that backwards.
Yeah, it's
savethesavable.eventbrite.com. Thank you, and get those tickets. Listen, I already have our tickets.
Yeah,
Two Amigos sounds like a great show.
It's
like
funny. I've seen it before. You guys are going to enjoy it if you get on down there.
Good
family fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then you get to help out Save the Savable, which is trying to reduce the number of euthanasias in our shelters today.
They were on our show a couple of weeks ago,
yep.
Definitely go onto our website and listen to their show if you missed it. So.
Absolutely. And you've got a couple other things. A
couple other things. The Humane Society is doing a first aid class again, January 14th from 1 to 5. You can go onto their website for more information about that. They're also doing a hockey game. It's the U of A hockey game on January 21st. An extra $5 for a ticket, you get to bring your dog to the hockey game. So
awesome!
Yeah, it's the U of A on Saturday, January 21st. So
that sounds like a lot of fun.
I've actually never been to a hockey game, and it's funny. I found that link, and I mentioned it to Alyssa. 2 days later, my friend invited me to the Roadrunners game today.
So,
you guys want to go to the game tonight?
Yep.
Good. We'll see you there. We're going to be in section 208.
My friend got tickets, so I have no idea where we're at. Like I said, I've never been, so I don't know what
there's not a bad
are.
Seat in the
okay.
place.
We're going to hunt each other
down.
Yeah,
we'll probably see you down there. And then January 16th, Southern Arizona Greyhound Adoption is doing a celebration at the Augustine Kitchen downtown. And again, you can go onto their website for more information. So, lots of events in January.
Yeah,
usually October is
a
busy month.
Yeah, January seems to be very, very busy this year.
It's been really nice outside, so it's a great time to get out and do these kind of events.
Exactly. All right, getting back to One Veteran Foundation. So your focus is getting animals out of, like, a shelter situation, finding ones that have the right temperament, personality to be a service dog for PTSD, and then getting them appropriately trained, and then matching them or, you know, trying to find a veteran that they will mesh with personality-wise and what that particular veteran's needs are. So give us an idea of what the veterans need to do in order to become a part of this program and what types of certifications these dogs need to pass in order to be considered a true service dog, not a therapy dog, but a service dog, because that is actually what they are. There is a definite difference, and we've discussed that on previous shows, that therapy dogs are not the same as service dogs, and where they're allowed to be as part of the American for Disabilities Act, it's different. So, and PTSD service dogs really need to be able to be with their veteran at all times, no matter where they are. So kind of give us an idea of how you guys select dogs and the training and how you match them with veteran with a certain veteran?
Well, usually what will happen is we'll get a request from a veteran through our webpage or through our email, which is veteran@oneveteran.com. If there are veterans out there that have PTSD and have been diagnosed professionally, not by themselves, with PTSD, they can email us with their contact information, if they have a dog, the breed of the dog, the age of the dog, and what they need the dog for. Because there are some veterans with PTSD that are also suffering from a traumatic brain injury. That complicates things for the dogs a little bit. What we will try to do is, if they have a dog already that they own and that they're bonded with, and if they're between the ages of 1 and 3 and they can do the job, we're going to try and train that dog. Now, granted, if they come to me with a Chihuahua or a Lhasa Apso going, I've got to have this dog as my service dog, I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. We don't do Chihuahuas and little dogs. I mean, because veterans that have PTSD, one of the biggest problems that they deal with is anxiety, panic disorders, and nightmares. And our dogs are trained to wake them up if they have nightmares, to disrupt that thought pattern. And you have a little Chihuahua come flying at you, it's like a little freaking squirrel. And so
that might make the nightmares worse then.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like you're being attacked by a camel spider or something. And so what we try to do is, the dogs generally are between 40 to 60 pounds, sometimes up to 90 pounds. We actually have a veteran that we're going to be training his dog, and she's basically a horse.
Oh, gosh.
She is a Bull Mastiff St. Bernard mix.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's a big dog.
Yeah. And she is, her name is Bailey. She is one of the kindest, sweetest, most lovable dogs there is. And it's funny because when she goes out with her owner, if he gets up and walks away, she literally parts the crowd because she will push them out of the way to be with her veteran. And
That big of a dog will push you out of the way.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
Without even thinking about it. And to them, she's just like a bull in a china shop. And if you're the plate, you get broken. Sorry.
Yeah.
But no, we work with them if they have a dog. If they do not have a dog, Pima Animal Control and the Animal League of Green Valley have been very, very good about working with us.
Yeah.
They have volunteers, well, in each one of these places. And I have contact with some of the volunteers there. And I will periodically get text messages, oh, I've got a dog you've got to come and look at. And the last two dogs we've gotten out of to our vets have come out of the Animal League of Green Valley, and they've been awesome. One of them, we had to go with a puppy because of the fact that that vet had a dog that was very dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And by us introducing another adult dog, it was creating problems.
Right.
So we went with a puppy so the adult dog could teach the little dog. And I get pictures posted on my page or his page or our one veteran page of how this puppy has changed this soldier's life already.
Wow.
And we haven't even trained the dog yet. We just paired him up. He sent me a picture with his daughter laying on the couch and the puppy laying on his daughter, and they were watching TV, and he said, thank you. You didn't find just the right dog for me. You found the right dog for my family.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was huge. And then we have another veteran that we're dealing with. Army sniper, got shot in the neck, has PTSD horribly bad, and we found a pit bull mix or a Stratford mix that those two are, they were, it was the one of the most perfect matches I've ever seen. You know, he struggles with going to new places. When he came down to get the dog, he had to bring somebody with him because it was so difficult for him to do this. The night we met him, I wanted to see how bad, and we will do this periodically, is we will meet vets in public places and put them in uncomfortable situations to see what their level of trauma is. And now, granted, I'm no doctor, but it's pretty easy to see when somebody's dealing with PTSD issues in crowds and you put them in a bar with a table with their back at the door.
Oh, gosh.
You will see, it, I mean, almost an instant change in them. I mean, he was literally so anxious about it. He was pushing stuff on the table and he was tearing stuff on the table just with the palm of his hand. And when we paired him up with Dora, and if you go on our website, you'll be able to see him. Dora keyed in on him almost instantly.
Wow.
You know, we had to give him a few minutes worth of classes on how to be able to handle her in the situation that she's in already, because he's going to be one of the next dogs that goes into training.
Okay.
Because we will give them a dog, and we give them 30 to 60 days to bond, because if they don't bond, there's no need in training the dog, because they have to bond.
Right.
You know, if you don't have that connection with your dog in some way, shape, or form, you got a pet.
Even if it's a well-trained pet.
Yeah, you got a really well-trained pet. But with Dora and him, he's now able to be more active. He's able to go and do more things, and we haven't trained her yet. And this is just by introducing the dog to them. We had another vet, Vietnam vet. He had a dog that he was trying to get taken care of as a service dog. She's amazing. Her name's Ashley. She's a bulldog, or a, what is it, pip, or boxer mix. And big old lovey dog. And when we had to go and take the dog from him, it was really hard on him. You know, because we will meet them in a public location. We will take the dog to our trainers because we don't want the dog's training disrupted. So mm-hmm. we don't let the vets know where we trained.
Okay.
We don't know the location. And my wife was telling me, she goes, I think he was following me. To find out where we were taking the dog. So, and that's not uncommon for a vet to have that level of anxiety of releasing this mm-hmm. team member to somebody else to be trained. Recently, they came by the house the other night. They've been back together for, I think, 3 weeks now,
yes.
maybe a little more. And she came into our house. I've got four other dogs at the house. I feel like a mini farm, apparently. And, she came in, sat right down next to him, laid there. If he started getting, when he would talk, if his voice went up, her head came up, and she was looking. You know, he told us his wife is very pleased with the results that they've seen in the dog, and more importantly, in this veteran, because of the fact that he is calmer now. He is happier now, because everywhere he goes, Ashley goes with him. You know, and it's made a big difference. And he's a Vietnam vet, and I deal with veterans from all wars. You know, I served in Desert Storm. I was with 1st Tank Battalion, 1st Marine Division, and we got to go play in the sandbox, as we call it. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back, like I said, I didn't think that it was that big of a deal. It was 4 days. Hey, 4 days can change a person's life.
Absolutely.
And, but the service dogs that we've been putting out are very, very good dogs. I mean, I have one veteran that I've known for 3 years before we started this. Never saw the guy smile, ever. You'd get a smirk, you'd get a snarl, you'd get a grunt and a head tug, and that'd be about it. And the day we introduced him to his dog, he knelt down, and the dog immediately just went over there to check him out. It was like, hey, what's going on? Leaned into him, gave him a big old sloppy kiss on his face.
Yeah.
And I have never seen him smile or anybody smile that big in my life as that day. And she's gone through training. And once they get out of training, they go through refresher classes with our trainers once a month to make sure that the veterans are doing what they're supposed to. Because believe it or not, the veterans are much harder to train than the dogs.
That's a recurring theme. Most of the trainers we've had on.
Yes, say that the humans are the
human
problem.
Is the heart of the heart.
Yeah, dogs are smart. People are stubborn, you know.
Does that mean veterans are more stubborn?
Yeah, they have a tendency to be. You know, I'm not saying I'm wrong, but I've never been wrong, so I was mistaken once. But, you know, it's kind of that philosophy that military, especially Marines, were really stubborn and hard-headed. And, you know, it's like we have a little inter-service rivalry with other branches of service, and we have a lot of fun picking on each other. But yet, somebody outside the military pick on them, and you got to pick on them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like in the Marine Corps. We'll pick on each other, but if somebody from outside picks on a Marine, you got to take them all. Because you're not going to have just one that you're going to be able to pick on.
It's everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that was a concept that was really taught to me very closely when I was at 1st Hanks out in Camp Pendleton, was you might only see one Marine that you think is there, but there's not. There's a lot of them there, and you would never know unless you're around that base what they would look like. But But yeah, so no, with us, with our service dogs, we've been able to see a substantial difference in our veterans. You know, we had one that we got him a dog, and his wife came to me 3 weeks after they'd been put together. She was like, "You are never going to believe what happened." I'm like, "Oh my God, what did I do now?" Oh, this is not going to be good. And she was like, "My husband called me at work." And I'm like, "Yeah."
Okay.
to most people, that's like, "Yeah, okay." He hadn't done this before. And he called just to ask how her day was.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the other one was he picked me up from work and we went out on a date, just him and I.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, okay. These are good steps in the right direction. You know, we've got other ones that are now going outside of what their safe zone is. And they're able to go out and explore and experience Tucson in all that it has because they now have somebody watching their back. And they know that they can trust that dog's judgment because dogs are really good people. Judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good judges of people. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I look at it this way. So my dog's telling me something's wrong with this guy. There's something wrong with this guy.
Yeah. Tend to trust the dog's opinion of a person more than you trust your own in a lot of cases.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We have to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it costs to get one of these service dogs trained and also find out what it's like to live with somebody with PTSD. So hang in a moment there. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Pet Talk. Again, we've been talking with David Rapus with One Veteran Foundation. We do have a phone call that I want to get to because we are running short on our show. Good morning, Ray. We want to see what question is about rescue dogs.
Yes, I have a rescue dog. I've had her for 5 years now.
Okay.
And I have not been able to communicate with this dog in any way whatsoever. If I want to take her in for her vaccinations, I have to capture her.
Okay.
She's got different areas she'll run in, and she's very hard to catch, which I don't even try catching her.
Okay.
She will not leave the yard. I have a one-acre fenced-in yard. She will not leave the yard. And I am beside myself because she's a great dog. She hides under a little building, and when she sees me coming, her tail is wagging, and she'll come just arms reach away from me. She will not come where I can touch her whatsoever.
She's playing hide-and-go-seek kind of with you. It's a game of tag is what she's playing now because she thinks that this is fun. So it sounds like you may need to get some on-site training with her so that she realizes when you ask her to do something, she actually needs to respect that request from you. And so I think that it's time to actually get some one-on-one on-site assistance because she has now determined that it's fun for you to have to chase her around. She's been able to get away from you, so she's winning. So,
well, you know, when I got her as a pup. She was about 10 weeks old when I got her. She was a part of a litter that was living under a mobile home, and she was skin and bones. And I told the people, I said, "You can catch that little black one, I'll take it. It looks like a lean Labrador."
Okay.
And I did want to train her for a service dog because I do have a service dog also.
Okay.
And the other thing I noticed is she's very intimidated by other dogs. Like if I have somebody come over to my house and they got a dog, she'll run and hide. She'll watch from a distance. She won't come out.
Okay.
But as soon as the person leaves with their dog, then she'll come out. She's very intimidated by any other dogs, big ones or small ones. It don't make any difference.
So she's got some socialization issues, too. And so this is a situation that even though she's playing a game of tag with you when you need to take her somewhere, there's some other underlying anxiety in her. And so this would be very appropriate to have somebody come out, whether it be Rough House or Sublime Canine, or several of the other training facilities out there, come and see what's going on in her emotionally and physically when she's having these bouts of anxiety so that you guys can work through them, because it will take some time. But even though that she's an adult dog, you can work through these, but you're going to have to get some help.
You know, I've got an Ostie here, and if I want to get her, I can just tell the Ostie to go get her, and she'll huddle her up and pin her on the ground. Not violently, but the Ostie will show her that she's in control.
Okay.
And she'll wait for me to come over and pick her up. I can bring her in the house, and she'll run over, and she'll sit by my chair. And I can come there, and if I put my hand on her and pet her, she'll accept the pets in, but she's just trembling. She don't want no part of me being near her. But yet, if I catch her and take her out on my patio, which she can't escape from, and it's probably 600 square feet, she'll run right by my chair. She knows where I sit, and she'll stand there like a little statue watching me.
Yeah.
And when she was a pup, I would bring her inside at night with a little carry-in kennel. I could leave her in the kennel with the door open, a dish of dog food and water in front of her. During the night, she would eat it, but she would not come out of that kennel or I could see her do it.
Yeah, she's got some anxiety, and it sounds like it's something that just needs some extra help in certain situations. So her anxiety is definitely situational at this point.
Anxiety. Well, I don't know what it is, but she doesn't like people.
Yeah.
You can't reach down there and pet her. Now, if there's space between you at arm's reach, on my patio, if I reach through the bars on my patio, she'll lick my fingers till there's no end.
Yeah.
But as soon as I come out the gate, she's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just got one of those personalities. And so I definitely would recommend that she get some professional assistance. You know, talking with one of the local training facilities, having somebody come in and see what her behaviors are, because reading dog body language can be really helpful in figuring out what is it that she's actually experiencing and feeling and how can we help her through it. So, I definitely recommend that. We have resources on our website, especially under the Pet Talk tab, that will guide you into areas that you can go to find the assistance that she needs. So, we want to get back with David talking about, okay, what is the cost of getting a service dog trained for a veteran, and how can the Tucson public actually help you out because you've got dogs ready and waiting in the wings?
Well, right now what we do is it runs us pretty close to about $2,500 to train our dogs, and they will go into training for 30 days or more, depending upon how fast the dog learns. Sometimes we're up to 6 weeks, occasionally up to eight, where they're with our trainers. And like I said, that's about $2,500. Then they'll do follow-ups with our trainers. And everything we do is done on donation. Our goal our first year was 5 dogs. We actually are at 10.
Wow, that's awesome.
Year. We have a dog that is waiting to go into training, and we have another one that is right behind it, and it's all done through public donations and funding. If people would like to go to our website, it's the1veteranfoundation.com, and click on the donate button. They can donate as much or as little as they're comfortable with doing. Nobody in our foundation draws a paycheck. We're all 100% volunteer. So you can know that whatever it is that you donate is going to go to help a veteran with PTSD in some way, shape, or form. But the biggest portion of what we do is to train service dogs for our veterans.
And as you mentioned, it's a
501c3.
So it's tax deductible
donation. You can turn that over to your accountant, and today being the 31st, if you would like to get your donations in before the end of the year to be able to claim on your taxes,
that'd be the way to go.
And we're also on Facebook too, so just go to One Veteran Foundation on Facebook, and you'll see our page and a little bit of what we do.
It's really easy to find because I was able to find you with like that this morning. So we only have about a minute and a half left. We want to at least let your wife speak about what it's been like in that short time that we have left, seeing the changes in you.
Hi. All the changes have been really positive for our family. It's nice to see. It's nice to see Dave relax if we're at an outing or a group or a family event. It's a huge relief for all of us. Having Manifa's service dog there, it helps us enjoy more of our family life and knowing that he's relaxed. He's not trying to get out of there, getting out of the event, or just even a family get-together sometimes can be really hard.
Yeah, so having all those people.
It's been a huge change in our life for our whole family.
So we encourage you to please go on to OneVeteranFoundation.com, click on their donate button, see what you can do to help out as little or as much as possible so that we can get dogs into these service members' households. Thank you so much for listening to us. We look forward to talking with you next week. It's been a pleasure.
News at top and bottom of the hour. Follow us at 1041 KQTH on Twitter
and like us on Facebook.
1041 KQTH HD.
KQTH Tucson.